Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an irreverent media podcast.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Israeli Nazis is trending, and I'm like, guys, you can criticize something without invoking the fucking Nazis. It's real.
You can just say Republicans at this point. Like it's
Israeli Republicans.
Yeah. See, it fits.
That works better than
Israeli GOP. Actually. Unfortunately, yeah. It does.
I think we're just gonna start with that.
Okay.
That's gonna be our intro.
Okay.
You just jumped in media res to our conversation. And you're listening to Go Home Bible, You're Drunk, a podcast where we talk about these things. My name is Justin, former pastor. And yes.
You have to do the intro first.
It's true. Sorry. I do. You don't know who that is, but you will momentarily. But before you're introduced to that lovely person, I have a co-host.
Hi. Yes. Hello. I'm Tori. And I think that you need to be selective when you invoke the Nazis, because it is sometimes not a great thing to do. So just be aware of that when you start throwing that word around.
To use a capitalist term, you can saturate the market with that word, and then it has no value.
Market saturation. They're going to start saying that it's woke. They're going to be like, using the term Israeli Nazis is woke. CRT bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, this is my advice.
We also have a guest co-host.
We do.
Yes.
Which is so exciting.
Introduce yourself, guest host.
I am Alicia, but mostly known as Transvangelical. I am predominantly on Twitter and OnlyFans. I think that we use Nazi so much because, like, there have been some really messed up empires in our time, but we like to point to Nazis because we're like, oh yeah, they were clearly the bad guys, without like actually recognizing the fact that we had concentration camps in the United States. Like, we were the bad guys too.
Like, yeah,
World War II was a war against fascism, and the fascists won. Like, that's really that's our history.
Well, it was a war against the other fascists, wasn't it? Because, like, If we're invoking the Nazis, Hitler was quite inspired by the American South and very segregation. So, yikes. Not great.
They're like, I bet we can do this only a little better.
Yeah, he was like, this is a great idea for us to improve upon in our very Germanic way of improving upon everything we get our paws on.
And this isn't to say that I admire the Nazis in any way before I say this, but a country that can almost take over Europe.
This preface is not good.
Like, you have to hand it to the Germans.
I feel like you have to hand it. You do not, under any circumstances, hand it to them.
Like, they almost conquered Europe twice in like the span of 20 years. Like, that's ingenuity put to bad use.
It's not nothing.
Maybe you don't have to hand it to them, but I feel like that should be recognized. Like, that, I don't know how. Maybe I should shut up now. But before someone thinks I'm like a Nazi sympathizer, I'm really not. No, it was terrible and wrong, evil. But also, like, Europe, like, had a vested interest in tanking their
people.
Yeah, well, they had a vested interest in tanking their economy after World War One, and somehow, I don't know. Anyway, well, see, that's actually the problem, because they had a terrible economy, and then suddenly this charismatic weirdo managed to mobilize them. Nothing like what has happened here in the United States at all.
We don't do charismatic weirdos here, ever.
I feel like it's a parade of charismatic weirdos anymore.
Like Charlie Kirk.
Is
he charismatic? I don't know. All I can see is his face and my brain stops working.
So here is a thing, though, that Dungeons & Dragons taught me, and I tweeted about this, but...
Oh, okay.
A lasting lesson that I have learned from Dungeons & Dragons is that intelligence, wisdom, and charisma are not the same thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like... Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, someone like... I mean, we make fun of Ben Shapiro quite a bit. But I will say, like, he has a certain amount of charisma. He can capture attention. Is he intelligent? No. Is he wise? No. But being charismatic somehow, like, equates to intelligence in our culture. If you can talk fast, if you can corner people, if you can just spit words out over and over again, and in a way that's mildly entertaining, suddenly, we ought to listen to this person.
It's become this weird thing, like, oh, he can ask questions that people can't answer. And it's like, yeah, they can't answer it because it's a dumb question. And that's like one of the things I see like all the time right now is like asking of questions that like, yeah, I don't have an answer to your question. You don't either. You're just trying to like corner me. And that's like,
no one thought of that question because it was a bad question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like just such a disingenuous question. Like, it's so popular to say, what is a woman? And it's like, to be honest, the conservative answer to that question is normally somehow connected to a woman's relationship to a man, because it generally almost always comes down to the ability to give birth. And like, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, there is biological means that are required to give birth, but producing a baby within the conservative frame of mind requires a man. And so it's like, underneath it all, like, they're still defining womanhood off of being the opposite of a man. And it's such a disingenuous question, just because it just lacks so much self-awareness in it. Like, you guys actually haven't even struggled with this, and you're coming on and wanting me to explain what gender is and 240 characters. Like, come on.
Well, and they only want you to answer it so that they can try to find the dumbest thing that they can find, and then just get tweets and likes and farm for attention. Mm.
My go-to response has been, "Oh, has nobody told you?" That's as no one
sounds like you don't have personal experience. Yikes,
I was taught that as a child. Like, you didn't know? Like, geez.
They must not have wanted you to know.
There's probably a reason we kept that from you. Like, we had a meeting, and you don't get that knowledge.
The weekly women's meeting.
Strangely, I'm a part of this now.
You are, Justin is there.
Someone needs to tell the men folk what to say, because you're not allowed to talk to them.
Amazing. Oh my god.
Well, we wanted to have Transvangelical on, one, because we love her, but also
we love her.
We recently, if I was going to put us on a, you know how they have like the doomsday clock, you know, kind of like for nuclear war or whatever. We're on that clock too, but on our, is this person the Antichrist clock? I feel like we're close to midnight on one hair Donald Trump, because recently, this is probably 2 weeks ago at this point, when you're actually listening to this, he published a Bible, or maybe Zondervan published a Bible, and he's endorsing it. It's the only one endorsed by him. It has the Bible, the Constitution, and I don't know, maybe the Declaration of Independence in it, which one conservative TikToker said, it has all you need. This is the only book you need. Wait, does it have the Constitution and just the Bill of Rights, or are all the other amendments in there?
It's got the Constitution. I don't know if it has the Bill of Rights, to be honest. It's got the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
I have a feeling it's going to end at 10.
There's no way that it goes further.
So that's a yikes right there.
somehow a handwritten copy of God Bless the USA.
Handwritten by a child in Bangladesh. Like, who has handwritten this? Come on, a liar.
Lee, whatever, wrote it, apparently. I don't... And so he's...
Greenwild.
Apparently he wrote
Greenwood. Lee Greenwood. God Bless the USA Bible.
Then printed it out. Just to be clear, this guy didn't write it like a million times. It's a photocopy.
Yeah, it's a picture. It's like, instead of the maps in the back of the Bible, you get God Bless the USA or whatever.
The funny thing is, it's just the King James Version. Like, I don't know if you know this, you can go online and download the King James Version, like, in a Word document.
Because isn't it public domain?
It's literally just public domain. Yeah, it's public domain, but people just have it in Word documents. Like, yeah.
It's also like the worst English version of the Bible.
So, I can't imagine that one Donald Trump would take the cheapest way out.
Gasp.
Well, I guess initially the talks were that they were in talks with, I think, Zondervan or whoever owns the copyright to the NIV to, like several years ago, to use the NIV, and they got some pushback. And so they're like, yeah, we're not going to do this. And so they ended up going with the KJV because, it's public domain.
The Creative Commons version of the Bible.
Right, exactly. And the worst one, I mean, in terms of closeness to the original text, or the worst one in English in terms of closeness to the original.
It has
text,
the most
but,
verses.
He has
more verses than any other Bible.
Yeah, doesn't it have like 10 or 12 that like most Bibles don't have?
Oh, it has a lot more than that, but
okay.
It's like 10 or 12 in the New Testament. The Old Testament there's
quite
a few more. The thing is the World English Bible is also just out there for public domain. Like, they released it in 94 and just made it public domain. Like, anyone can use it. It's actually not bad. And that's coming from me, who's very...
It sounds woke.
I mean, it's not woke at all. Like, it's rather, like, literal. Like, it says brothers in all the places, even though, like, masculine plural actually can mean either male or female. But because of language, plurals... If there's multiple women...
I think that brings up an interesting point. Yeah.
I was just going to say...
Because...
You go.
It's interesting that it's fine. I think it's just interesting that it brings up a point. Like, there's like a good translation, and then there's like translations that follow the English evangelical tradition of translation. You know, like we can discover later on that, say, rendering a word brothers and sisters actually isn't that unfaithful to the text, given just various things we still are learning about these languages. But if you change it to brothers and sisters, or just people, folk, whatever, like there are people that will push back, not because it's inaccurate, because it's inaccurate, not because it's an inaccurate translation, but it's inaccurate to the Bible they're comfortable with, which is an interesting, like, it's a weird thing, because like, oh, the Bible is inerrant, but only like my Bible.
English translation,
you know, and it's, I Donald Trump for sure. Like, the people that are King James only are, they're voting for Donald Trump. Like, I'm just like, I just, that Venn diagram, he has hit that market. A Venn diagram's a circle. Like, I'm just like, find me someone that's a hardcore King James only person that's not voting for Donald Trump. And I won't do anything. I'll just be impressed.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a, It's such a frustrating thing because the way that language works is it is constantly changing. And so our English that we use today is not the same English that we used 50 years ago. And it's not the same language that we used in, 16 or 15 something, whenever the King James was written, which granted the one that we use now isn't even the original King James because we updated the language. Like, the words that we use in English don't carry the same connotation as what, like, the original Greek used. So, like, we see salvation all over the Bible, but, like, the Greek and Hebrew words that are being translated salvation are more accurately understood to be liberation because they're essentially only used in the context of physical liberation, specifically from, like, prison or slavery. And so it's then being used, like, kind of metaphorically in the New Testament as a physical liberation. And whenever you think about, like, New Testament is actually rather anti-empire, that makes a lot of sense for marginalized people to care about liberation from an empire instead of some ethereal afterlife that may or may not be real.
Yeah, it's weird actually how, like, lower class expressions of religion tend to be like actual, like, put like tangible liberation, and it's usually like upper class white folks, whether they were actually white or not, just that tradition of whiteness that just keeps going. They tend to be more like the escapist, ethereal, like, oh man, the next thing, Plato's cavern, you know, like, just not just concerned about these odd philosophical questions. And it's like, I just need to eat, you know, like, and yeah, so I guess my question is about this whole Trump Bible thing. Like, I think people have been asking themselves probably since mid 2015, when is it going to be enough?
Oh, when is he going to go too far?
When is he going to go too far? And the limit has not been reached. I mean, I see people criticize. Well, I think the limit has been reached for a lot of people to publicly support him. Like, just average voters, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do on election day, but, like, we know what you actually are going to do. But there's a little more of that now. But at the same time, though, it's like you're selling an autographing a Bible that you've endorsed nakedly to make money
because
for yourself.
You're facing,
like, it's
financial
not
hardship.
You know, this is campaign funds, legal funds, yeah, and financial hardship, like. Alicia, you make it seem like I kind of want to support someone that has financial hardship, like financial hardship, .. as a direct consequence of their illegal actions. But so it feels like, and also, like, not just selling a Bible, but selling a Bible that has stuff added to it, namely the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, not the other amendments that
we
fought so
hard
for.
Did you hear, like Michelle Bachmann's whole thing about how, like, the, what was it? I guess, was she, I can't remember if she was talking about the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, but she was talking about how it's mostly, like, cherry picked quotes from the Bible, which it's objectively not that.
Yes.
But I think that I just bring that up because, well, one, because it was kind of recent, and two, there is, I mean, they treat the Constitution and the Bible as, like, equal, pretty much.
Well, you have this,
you know, like,
you have the same, like, approach to the Constitution as people approach the Bible, as if it's like this infallible thing where the people who wrote it down got literally everything right, and somehow these 19 to 27 year old people wrote an infallible Constitution for a nation where, yeah,
where a sizable chunk of the population wasn't counted as full people.
The three of us on,
like, and the also they were
on
the only ones that could vote.
Older than the average founding father. Like, put that in perspective here.
Yeah, we are approaching twice the life experience of some founding fathers, you know, and it is wild to me. And I hey, you know, I mean, the Constitution has survived thus far, you know, hey, way to create a stable system, I guess. Stable for whom is a good question, but also it's like, it's okay for us to like rethink this. And that's interesting how, and I don't know how it happened, but that evangelicals approached the Bible and the Constitution in the same way, in the sense that like they're literalists, you know, this is literally true, and that they and that the literal truth can be found and has already been found, and it's like shockingly our interpretation. You know, these founding fathers famously disagreed as to what their own words meant, you know, like it's not like we're going back 2000 years. We have some of these documents. We have the actual literal piece of paper that they wrote
on display. You can steal it with the right plan.
Like, apparently. Yes. With Nicolas Cage, all things are possible. So yeah, it's the part that has and it's become more and more so. Like I remember kind of thinking that even when I was in like you know, it was Bible school for the first time, but I feel like even more, and now this is this weird merging, and it doesn't really feel like enough people, like there's not any criticism in mass. There's like every now and then there'll be a new voice that's like, ooh, hey, Bibles, no, don't be selling Bibles, Donnie. But there's not ever, I don't think there will be a thing he can do, or Republicans generally can do, that are going to have evangelicals leave en masse.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And it's,
oh, you know what they could do? I know what they could do.
Go ahead.
They could stop pretending they hate Black people. Then they would leave.
I mean, I disagree.
If they could be anti-racist, evangelicals would leave.
Are you saying if they stop? Wait, you said stop.
If the Republican Party went woke,
pretending that they liked Black people, like they were just more like overt about their racism. I was like, no, that wouldn't push anybody away. I heard it backwards.
No, that's what they want. Yeah. That's what they want. So if it went, it goes the other direction where they start being pro-Black, then evangelicals would be like, this is not of the Lord.
At least in the South, that's why a lot of racists joined the Republican Party, you know, during the, you know, Nixon Southern strategy or whatever. So it's interesting that I think Tori, you're right. I think they could give up abortion even. And perhaps a lot of evangelicals would find a way to whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it genuinely was like, we're going to make an equitable society.
Yeah, they'd be like,
and we're not going to allow your colleges to discriminate anymore. And we're not going to, you know, that's the thing that got them into the Republican Party. And yeah, I hate when you're right about these things. The world got a little bit bleaker. But I feel a little more enlightened, so it's okay. I'm fine.
Like, the thing is enough people think that he is possibly the second coming of Jesus, like he is another Messiah, that I think he would lose less people if he just said, yes, I am the second coming, than if he was like, we should bring back DEI.
Yeah. We're gonna have a federal office of DEI.
They would be gone.
Like, they'd be gone faster.
They would get on board with the second coming of Jesus. I am God. Then, God, we're so messed up.
Wow. So, that is messed up. And I think we're gonna leave y'all with that. We're gonna take a little break for capitalism, and we'll get back. We'll talk a little bit more about this Trump Bible situation and just kind of some Easter shenanigans. Stick around.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church.
It's a podcast about change. It's a podcast about seeking moral high ground. And it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
I think we were.
Are we back?
I think we are. We're back. Okay. We're back.
I just hope that entire so, like break.
Thanks everybody for having a little capitalism break with us.
We're cutting nothing.
We might have to put that on the outcast. On the I like the outtakes. Okay. Thanks everybody for sticking around. If you don't like ads, if you were served up with something that you're like, I don't really want an ad anymore. You can check out patreon.com/gohomebible and you can get ad-free episodes. You can also join our Discord community. And if you donate to the youth pastor tier or above, you get a Bible verse. This year, not this year, this,
this
week.
Year.
This year. Thankfully, we've had more than one this year. We have a new youth pastor. New youth pastor means we get a new Bible verse. This one is for Tim. So thank you so much, Tim, for your support. And you get a life verse. Okay. It is mediated to you from myself and Tori, your divinely appointed leaders, and also transvangelical as well. So you get a threesome, if you will,
the Holy of Trinity.
Divine, the Holy Trinity. Yes. So. It's going to be given to you. Tori is going to read it for you.
Okay. I'm going to read it. Well, I have to find it first. So hang on. I'm like,
okay.
Tori and Justin, AKA the Holy Spirit. If you're in our church ministry, cult thingamajig, I don't know. It's something. Can we like, yeah, try to not land on the maps this time. Okay, oh dear. Okay, Romans 13:4.
Oh, no.
For he is God's okay. servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Tim, my condolences, Tim.
Oh my God.
that's what God wanted you to have.
Oh, wow.
That's awful.
There you go.
That's like the Bible verse cops get tattooed on themselves.
Oh man. Whew, I'm glad we got that one out of our system.
You never, someone that else could get it. Someone else might get it.
Yeah. So it's possible. Tori and I were playing around with random Bible verse generators online because not that we would ever cheat you of the dead tree version of this thing we do.
Dead
but
tree.
I've found that these random Bible generators online, they kind of cheat.
They're not random.
They're not actually they're random of the good ones, according to the people that made the website. So you don't get donkey emissions. You don't get the Song of Solomon stuff. Aww. You don't get whatever that cop verse was.
You get that one.
Well, you probably do get the cop verse.
You probably do, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, we get to view the pure unfiltered Bible here. So. Thank you so much for your patronage, everyone. And if you can't give, I get it. Times are hard. If you could share the podcast, leave us a 5-star review on the things, except not Google Podcasts, because that's gone now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's gone. I spent all of 10 minutes making sure we were listed on there, and now it's
I think it's through YouTube nothing, Music so. Now. But I switched to Spotify.
Yeah, I think that's what's all.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Google Podcast was my thing, and it's gone.
I will say, generally speaking, I was on Android briefly, and I will say the podcast options a little slim compared to Apple. But
oh, weird.
Yeah, I was like at the time I was switching. I was like, there's just the same apps are not they're not here, and the ones I found just weren't that great. So. And then Google Podcast came along, which I guess was pretty good, but. It's another one of the Google graveyards.
Oh, one of the many treasures buried many in things the Google that they're graveyard.
Like, this is going to be great. We're going to revolutionize it. And then, oops, we forgot. Anyway, so Easter, not as upon us, it's gone now. It is in the dust.
It's departed.
The Trump Bibles have been sold. And clearly for Christians, there is now one choice in one Joseph R. Biden, because, you know, he celebrated Easter uncontroversially this year. I think.
Did he? He was trying to be trans. Didn't you see the outrage?
I did, yes. It was kind of like I was trying to tee up a seg.
A seg? Oh my gosh. Yes. No, not a seg. That's cringe. No.
Justin has been listening to
I was trying to segue to the, yeah.
So try to pull up a seg.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know, as much as I try to not be a white guy with a podcast, occasionally it slips out.
It's okay. It's forgivable on occasion, as long as it's not on purpose.
It was not. So, yeah. Joseph Biden was. I'm just gonna say Joseph Biden from now on. He got in a little bit of trouble, I guess, because he officially recognized. Federally, I think a trans day of visibility, which is it's a good thing. It's a good step. But it happened to be that Easter fell on the same day, which I mean, what better way to celebrate the glorious appearing? I don't know. But apparently it made some folks a little bit upset. And I also think there were some Christians that were confronted for the first time that Easter is not on the same day every year. I try to explain it to people
and they don't know. They don't get it. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox.
It is the most pagan and metal as fuck way to calculate a holiday, and we waste it on Easter.
It's the first schism in Christianity was on when to celebrate Easter. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, Trans Day of Visibility has always been, since I think 2009 is when it started, has always been since its inception on March 31st. It's the exact same day every single year. Easter likes to jump around because it's
pagan. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, this year, Joe Biden decided to celebrate it on Easter because he's trying to erase Christ, who is, like, frankly, kind of a trans icon, and they don't get it. So that's on them, I think.
There's so much there. Like, Jesus starting out as a non-gendered being and then becomes a man. So, like, literally takes on a gender after having no gender, and then is from a virgin.
Yeah, the non-binary to him is a journey that doesn't get enough coverage. Yeah,
very few people on that journey, let's be honest. But
it was a journey that was made, born of a virgin
who could only give, you know, X chromosomes, so born with only X chromosomes, identified as male, mm-hmm. you know, and then had a great coming out after 3 days of sleep.
Also wore a dress, was known to wear dresses basically everywhere.
Reported kissing men.
It, like, hung out with a lot of women, really, or at least took money from a lot of women.
I mean,
I don't know what's going on there.
Sugar baby?
The sex workers were paying
to ask
for
my silly question, like Ben Shapiro.
He had sex workers following him around, and they would pay for his ministry. It's literally there.
Yeah, where did that money come from?
You know, traveling sex work.
It's like a big circle. Jesus pays the disciples. The disciples pay the sex workers. The sex workers pay Jesus. It's a virtuous circle.
Wait. Did Jesus start the first? Like Christian women MLM.
Yeah, I think maybe he did.
It's like, all right, you guys are going to make this money. You're going to give it to me. And then you're going to find three people who will also make money, and you will make some of that money and send some of that to me.
Yeah. This is
the MLM, I mean, just it's continues. Clearly why so many pastors, especially youth pastor wives, like do MLM type things. It's all biblical.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for the Lord. So I don't even know where to start with this one in some ways, because my guess is that Joe Biden thought 16 seconds about whether these two things coincided. You know,
it's I doubt he even thought about it, to be honest.
No, it was just like, this is something that is a win. And, you know, and you can say it's a political calculation or whatever. Sometimes I don't care why something good happens.
It's so just, he's actually recognized it the past 4 years. Or this is the fourth year, one of the two. So, like, it's not new. He's done it before.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I still think somebody else wrote it for him and he put his name on it, like, probably everything.
Right.
Yeah. He has done it in the past.
So it's, and I guess that's even where I got caught up in the like news frenzy of it, because I thought this was like the first time. But it usually, when you peel back the layers of the evangelical outrage, it's always something. I think it's, they're like trying to start a new war. Like, the war on Christmas hasn't gone so well, so it's like, we're gonna have the war on Easter now, you know, like. And again, it's like, they're like, you know, they did that Easter egg roll at the White House, which is just how people roll eggs around. I don't know. It's like, oh, they're erasing the Christian traditions. But it's like,
they always do that at the White House.
Yes. It is a longstanding tradition. Happened four times under Donald Trump. No one said a thing.
It happened under Obama. You know? I'm sure it happened under George Bush. Like, what? Mm-hmm. They have a whole like bunny costume and everything that they like keep at the White House. Like, what are people on right now?
Yeah, it's just,
I'm pretty sure that, like,
wow,
Bush was praised for being family friendly because of his like Easter Day celebration on the White House lawn. And it was just random. It's just random crap like that. Like, I mean, to be fair, it does sound kind of cool if you're a kid to like have the experience of doing Easter stuff on the White House lawn. But like, everybody's done it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fun to me. Yeah. It's not a partisan thing.
Yeah. Unless this is something that continues to bother me, is that lack of consistency, or that lack of like, even like, keeping to like the same, judging by this, even a slightly similar rubric. I get it. I probably judge conservatives more harshly than I judge people that agree with me. You know, that's just human nature. But like, I would like to think, and I would like to think that people would point out to me if there was a complete lack of parity. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was just like, you know, like wildly crazy on one side and then no criticism at all on my side. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a certain balance, you know, but the fact that they can't see, like, we were openly mocking the previous president for this. And then when our guy gets in, we're praising him for it. And then when the next guy does the same thing, who's not our guy, we will mock them for it. It's like, can you pick a something and just stick with
it? Well, I think that rather than. So for them, it's there aren't good actions and bad actions. There aren't good choices and bad choices. They're a good team. There's a good team and the bad team, right? So the good team can do the bad things, and it's still good because they're doing it for the right reason, right? And then the bad team does those exact same things, and it's bad because they're bad people. And so it's interesting, because it's like, impact doesn't matter and intentions don't matter even, right? I mean, intentions don't matter for anyone they disagree with. They think that their intentions matter for themselves, which again gives like moral cover, not really, but that's what they think, to making harmful choices. And so I think this bleeds out into like everything, that their like moral ethical framework is really just the good team and the bad team, and I'm on the good team, so I can be doing the same things as the bad team. Me doing it is good, them doing it is bad.
I think that there's also like, very much agree with you on that. And I think that there's also a complete like disconnect from like historical understanding, and like each individual event is somehow in a vacuum by itself that it, history isn't even considered. And okay, I'm going to kind of go on a slight rabbit trail here. Like today I tweeted something about white conservatives, their biggest fear being that marginalized people would treat them the way that they treat marginalized people, which is actually me just subtweeting Tori and Benji, because I just listened to the White Homework podcast. Yeah, there's like a dude that came on and is like, yeah, white men are so racist. That's why we sent, well, yeah, I was thinking that one.
Yeah, you sent me those, I think.
It's like, this is why we send billions of dollars each year to help people in Africa. And I'm just like, why are we sending people to Africa? Is there possibly something that has happened previously in the world where maybe we could have been at fault for whatever's going on, that we feel the need that we should help them?
Why does Africa, the most mineral-rich continent on the planet, need our help? Like, why is it that Africa, like, every time a leader rises up in Africa that says, hey, perhaps we should keep the wealth here, they're dead in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just...
It's all coincidence.
Is it like that Haitian curse where they made a deal with the devil? Like, you know? Like,
yeah, the Haitian curse of making a deal with the devil is just capitalism in a scary costume.
Yeah. You know, like, it's for sure. It's one of those things. It's like, we're not racist. We give money to, you know, to black people. It's like, well,
if you pay fairly for the things that you're extracting from the continent, you probably wouldn't have to do that, because it would probably have a lot of not just wealth in terms of like raw resources, but also, you know, wealth in terms of capital. But they can't pay a fair price. I mean, what's the point of capitalism if you have to pay a fair price for something? That's what we do murder for.
That's exactly what we do murder for. Like, we've literally gone to war in the Middle East and keep terrible relations with terrible countries because of capitalism. Like, I don't know if you know this, Saudi Arabia isn't the good guy, but we have a very strong allyship with that country.
And for why? Yeah, it's money. And that's, I think that's where this whole like weirdness to me, Trump nakedly wants money. Like, and so he publishes a Bible, and people that openly need money and need people to pay for attention will say the stupidest shit about this whole Transvisibility Day and it being Easter and trying to erase, even though it's the financial incentive to be awful. It feels like it only gets greater. Like it begins to make less sense to be good.
Yeah.
Because your incentives are getting less and less. And
I have very strong feelings about this.
Go ahead.
Like,
I'm saying your words.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've talked about this before, but it is really fascinating to me. I don't know. Maybe you both heard similar things growing up, in evangelicalism and proximity to church, just spending time in those spaces, right? Where, I was told that, well, capitalism is the best that we can do because people are inherently greedy. And so we just need to take advantage of the fact that people are greedy so that they work. Otherwise, nobody would work, which is like not true from an anthropological or historical or evolutionary standpoint. Like, it's false all the way across the board in terms of greed and people refusing to work to feed themselves. Like, that's not the case. But it's really fascinating to me because it's like, yeah, greed is sinful, but it's just human nature. And then it's like, okay, but being gay is sinful, and you're not allowed to be gay. It's not just human nature. You got to fight that. And so I think that it's really interesting that they will make excuses again for their bad behavior and create an entire, like, create an entire incentive structure around behaving badly, right? I mean, like, that's the reason that the transatlantic slave trade happened, right? Like, that's the reason that we've spent 1,000 years fucking shit up in the Middle East, because we feel like that's kind of our stuff too. And, like, we should be able to take things when we want them. And that's the reason that, like, democratically elected leaders get assassinated or just disappeared somehow. That, yeah, you're creating the most incentive is for, like, the most harmful behavior. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, there's no the expectation that people rein that in and control that, like, control their greed, like, exercise some self-restraint is just not there in that worldview framework. Well, there's whatever. This, I hate the word worldview, but I've already talked about
that. There's
this
understanding or that isn't necessarily, like, it's not spoken, obviously, but that if white people have all of the money and all the resources, we would do what's right with those things. And it's this almost entire, like, cultural understanding that white people will in fact do the right thing, even though it's not even, like, close to being historically correct. Like, it's so ingrained in the white evangelical culture. Like, I even went to Bible college and they would talk about having a biblical worldview and would, like, say this stuff, like, if everyone has a biblical worldview, they're going to have the same views on all this stuff. And not once did anybody go, hey, how come this biblical worldview that you have is going to lead towards voting Republican, but Black Christians generally don't? Like, what is the disconnect there? The unspoken part that is alluded to very strongly, but not said outright, is just that Black Christians don't understand Christianity or the Bible like white Christians. And
they've been
bought by the Democratic Party, which we're gonna just not go there.
Not today.
But because we'll be here all night. But also, yeah, I mean, Tori and I were taught in our Abeka textbooks that, you know, the natives of this land, they didn't use the land right, and that's why it's okay for us to take it from them, because we were going to use it right.
It could be more productive.
It could be. And, like, little did we know, like, they actually had a very rich farming tradition. It just happened to look different.
Well,
like,
it wasn't something that was left. It wasn't something where when a society left, there were a whole bunch of really obvious signs that people had been there, right? Because the idea wasn't, oh, we're supposed to be here forever. It's like, it was more, we're supposed to live and try to find some equilibrium with nature, right? So when we're done with this land, wherever we happen to be, it'll go back to the way that it was. And so we want to steward it in that way. Like, that was a very common indigenous framing here. And in Europe, like, the idea was very different. Like, evidence of civilization was stuff that is going to be around in 5,000 years.
I mean, to be fair, we still... Mm-hmm.
And things that go back to nature weren't considered societies.
We still kind of have that today, because we will praise societies that left giant stone things because stone, like, lasts forever.
Yeah.
But rarely will talk about those. Yep. Well, granted, it is difficult to, like, find things to write history on from societies that didn't leave giant marks. But it's really, a lot of it has to do with the ability to commodify literally everything. Like, within European capitalism, all resources are something to be used to gain wealth, whether that's people, whether that's natural resources, land, like, everything can be exploited to gain money. And that's just such, like,
including the Bible.
Up to and including the Bible and the founding documents of this country too. No, like everything's up for grabs. I mean,
you said gotta hand it to Hitler earlier, so I'm gonna say you gotta hand it to Trump.
No, I said hand it to the Germans.
But you know, to be fair, I've not seen somebody like with the product range of Donald Trump. Like, you know, he started with NFT, like trading cards. You know, he moved into the shoe industry.
That's true.
And now he's in the Bible industry. Like, what's next? Like,
yeah. I mean, he already did stakes.
He has his own
university.
Social media.
Yep. So
did mine.
Oh my God, he's gonna release. So he's gonna release the Trump phone. Just a phone.
Yeah, it's gonna be a phone, like a BlackBerry.
That's my prediction.
Oh, it's a BlackBerry. I love this.
It's not gonna be a new BlackBerry. It's going to literally be a like redone 2005 BlackBerry.
Buys the rights for like Windows Phone, and re-puts out that operating system.
Oh God, yeah. This is it. Trump phone. Okay, so. We're gonna play a little game at the end here. I think it's gonna be an Easter game because Tori doesn't like Easter because of legit reasons, and I'm okay with it. And anyway, but we're gonna do a positive game for Easter. We're gonna try to do this. Maybe we'll do it every year. Perhaps I'll forget about it after 3 weeks. But in the tradition of Easter, whatever that means to you, whether it's Jesus or you know the goddess. As a star or Stora, whatever. We're going to ask each person here on this lovely panel, what's something that you would like to see die and come back as something else? Okay. So what's something you'd like to see die and then come back as something else?
I don't understand the question. Like, is this something we like?
Anything in the world.
A good thing, a bad thing, a neutral thing.
If it's a bad thing. Yes, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're like, I want to see cargo pants die and come back as men wearing good pants.
Oh,
like,
so we're doing something.
Okay.
I would like to see Trump die and come back as a ringworm.
I mean, you can go there. It doesn't matter. There's not a limit. The prompt is what's
Kill
something
baby
in the world that you would like to see die and then come back as something better. Let's just say better. I'll put that up there.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I mean, I think like the first thing that comes to mind is billionaires. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole plan not to kill them, not for them to die, but for them to go somewhere where they can be resurrected if they are good people. And I won't talk about it here because I don't know who's listening. But no, it's not that big of a deal. I want to put them all on like a beautiful island with no electricity and like sea to air missiles so no one can come and get them and they can't talk to anybody except themselves.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what,
maybe a bunch of mirrors. Yeah, but he can leave whatever he wants and there's electricity and like Wi-Fi and stuff.
I love how Zuckerberg's like, Meta, everything is in the cloud. And then he like goes off to an island and like kills his own cows or something. Like, yeah. Like,
anyway. Yeah. And then we could have a world where people are excited to pay their taxes because they don't want to be sent to the island in the middle of the Pacific.
Yeah, I love this because that's the reward for when you win capitalism. Mm-hmm. Like when you go from, you know, 999 million, nine, you know, all the nines. Like when you go from that to the billion, like, oh, you're going to the
Uh-oh.
Island. Like, you go to fuck up. You go to find out island. You fucked around. This is find out island.
Did we just create that?
I'm keeping that name.
Throw a camera
sure.
on there and we just made the Hunger Games, but with billionaires.
Oh my gosh, my partner said that to me and I was like, no, we're not watching them. And he's like, no, we have to. We have to watch what they're doing. There has to be a day every year where everyone on Earth is forced to watch them on TV. Live streamed. I'm like, this is, they want the attention. You're giving them what they want.
But if it keeps them on the island, Tori.
Okay. I get it. I see.
This is you're taking one for the people.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Like, all right, I love this.
I'm gonna go really basic.
What's something you'd like to see?
I would like to see X die and resurrected back as Twitter. That's it. Mm-hmm. I miss Twitter.
That is a good one.
That's a glorious resurrection indeed. I can get with that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, well, I did ask this question, so I suppose I need to make an attempt to answer it. Something I'd like to see
die. I thought
die.
You went into this with an answer, so.
I actually didn't.
No. Oh, okay.
I came in with a question.
Cool. I'm good with this. This is fun.
No, this wasn't like a thing where I skillfully set it up or like I secretly have the best one. Like, no, like this is not it. If you were expecting that, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to go fairly basic. Well, not basic because it's a big deal. But actually, no, maybe I would like all student loan offices that are embedded in our institutions of higher education. I don't want those people to die. I want their job to die. And I want it to. I would like student loans to go away, and those offices be replaced to like student resourcing places where people get connected with like services that they need to survive. Mm-hmm. And so that's your job now, not telling a kid, "Oh, for sure, you're going to make enough to pay for that student loan." Look, this is when they're going to speak with authority, and they're going to give a lot of graphs and stuff, and say like, "See, this is totally affordable for you. You can definitely afford this payment." I won't tell the numbers, but I have never made what they said I was going to make.
Oh my God.
After getting my master's degree.
That's because you haven't started your man club on the internet where you just have a little community of dudes where you're just telling them, let people fucking live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to have a little online community membership group, whatever.
Yeah. I think maybe we should start that on our Discord, like oppressed white men. You know, like just you pay me $100
a month,
a day.
Yeah, okay, a day.
No, you have to ask for what you're worth, Tori.
Okay, valid.
And
fair,
Justin
fair,
just gives
fair.
Like conspiracy theories.
And I can, they're against us, guys. Oh yeah, tell me more. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. So anyway, yeah. So I'd like to see. I'd also like to see that die, dudes. That podcast alone. Like, I here's the thing. Like, I'm a white guy. I have a podcast, but like, I think all podcasts should have a one white guy limit. Like, you know, just
that's
I'm going to give a bonus one. We just all podcasts that are two white men or more go away. They die. And Joe Rogan's podcast too. And then they're resurrected as podcasts that have like, all podcasts, only one white dude. Like, we don't know where the rule came from. We just like, it's just like an understood, like, oh yeah, you don't fucking start a podcast with two white dudes. Like, why would you do that?
I'm into this. There's so many good rules.
I think I need to change my answer. Well, not that I want to change my answer, but you got me thinking with the whole student loan thing. I would like to see the elimination of religious exemptions and, I don't know, resurrected as no religious exemptions. I don't know. But like the amount of stuff that
for sure,
like especially religious schools are able to do and just be like, hey, I don't have to follow these laws against discrimination. Because I have a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
Like Baylor University literally has an exemption that allows them to sexually harass students. Literally given to them by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what needs to go.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, those need to go. So if you have one, dear listeners, feel free to let us know. Email, Discord, tweet, Instagram comment. We would love to hear about it. So that's our Easter wish for you. And we meet Easter in the most pagan sense of that word. So thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Hope you have a lovely week and we'll see you next time.
First Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.